hands and worship the Lord, would you? God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And what an awesome presence of God in this place. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And would you please stand for the reading of the word? Oh, hallelujah. So tonight we will cover part two of the subject that I introduced this morning, entitled The Cure for Bitterness. We talked a lot about the use of Facebook. And someone came out and said, Brother Grant, I was in the car already, said, Brother Blake George, talk to the young people about the use of Facebook, and or maybe I should say the misuse of it. So I wanted to address this morning because the hyphen people are in here, and then talk about it again tonight. Several things came up a few days before I left to go to St. Louis to our general board meeting, and then on to Texas, and it's just been burning in my heart. Because so many people are giving everything from marriage counseling to, you know, you name it. I'm trying to figure out a way to say this that you won't forget. See, Jesus says in Matthew 12, he said that you have to give an account for every idle word that you speak. For by the words that you speak, you will be judged. You know what an idle word is? It's having your tongue going 90 miles an hour before your brain turns over. It's not engaged, it's an idle. Pray tell me, how in the world do you think that you're going to help someone that's having a marriage problem by getting on Facebook and giving information, and you have no earthly clue as to what you're talking about? You may say, well, they need help. Then tell them to go see a pastor. See, the book of Proverbs says that only a fool would judge a matter before he hears it. That simply means that you hear one side of a story. Usually people believe the first part, the first thing they hear. I've actually had people get on the phone call me and say, my husband's coming in. Before he comes in, we'll give you my side of the story. So, what happens is gossip, see, is one of the fruits of bitterness. And you think now, with over 6 billion people in the world, and most all of them having access to the internet and Facebook. Now, don't you know that the devil's having a heyday when he sees about 3 billion people fussing and arguing? You think about it. Squirming around like a can of worms that had gasoline poured in. Everybody's fussing and fighting. Oh, that's what the devil likes. So now, if I talk real plain tonight, it's because I fully intend to. And if you're offended by it, then so be it. You just have to get over it. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 14 through 17. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. But you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There is a place that you can get yourself in which you can not repent. And that is when bitterness is in your heart and you won't forgive. For if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. God bless you. May be seated. I guess the reason why this is so etched in my brain right now is because I've been dealing with some relatives that are in very bad health. And when I left here, praying for many of you that are in bad health. And when you think about people that are dying of cancer, people that need the kidney transplant, my 32-year-old nephew goes in 3 times a week for a dialysis. And I talk with him, and he says, "Uncle John, I just wish I had my life to live over." He said, "I would have taken better care of myself. Had high blood sugar for years and knew it and didn't do anything about it." But he said, "You know, I was just overweight for a long time and didn't really care. And now at 32, his wife left him and had an affair with a guy across the street and recently gave birth to his child." He says, I don't know what my future is. I just don't know. So they put this port in so that he can have dialysis or take dialysis at night. Won't be quite so severe. But his blood pressure has been dropping so low when he has the dialysis. And, you know, when you see people suffering, people without work and trying to pay the rent and put food on the table, and people that have personal problems and such, and then you read about all of this malarkey on Facebook. You know what malarkey is, don't you? I don't have any idea, but I've heard the word used, and it sounds like a good word to put in there. <You know? clears throat> Sister Grant and I, on our trip, stopped in at Cheddar's restaurant in Springfield, Illinois. We were seated, and right in front of us, there were 3 ladies and a gentleman. One of the ladies did about 99% of the talking. And she said, the first thing that caught my attention was, she says, "You better believe I'm bitter." And she made reference, "And I will never forgive her." And she went on to say that, "Yes, I am bitter." And she said that at least 3 times. Now, the thing that I thought was so different was that she then started talking about a lady that obviously worked for her. She must have been a supervisor. She said this lady comes in with, called her name, said she comes in with a bad attitude all the time. And I told her, "We'll tolerate no bad attitudes around here." You know, and I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, the opposite, an antonym for bitter would be sweet. James says, "Can from the same fountain come forth both bitter and sweet water?" And what this lady is basically saying is, "I'm not a very sweet person, you know. I'm bitter. But through the years, I have counseled with a good number of people that said, well, I'm going to pray about this, Brother Grant, because I can't get over this bitterness, and I'm not for sure I'm ready to forgive. And it just seems so strange to me that a Christian who has taken advantage of God's forgiveness would classify themselves as being so selfish that I'll take advantage of his forgiveness, yet I will not forgive. I don't understand that. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, that we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're spiritual, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you think that you can use some carnal form to accomplish a spiritual need, you're badly mistaken. It just doesn't work that way. So if you want to solve a problem, you have to go to the Bible. And you use the Jesus method. Now, this Facebook thing, and I do not have an account on Facebook. Sister Grant communicates quite a bit on Facebook with our young people and various ministers, wives, throughout our fellowship. It's been a real blessing to her as far as the form of communication. But to get on there and intentionally put garbage on there about somebody. That's what I'm talking about. You have something about somebody you don't like, so I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to tell the world. But really, the truth of the matter is, you're telling more about yourself than you're telling about the other person. And besides that, it's such a cowardly approach. In other words, I'll type it in and let the whole world read it, but I won't go face the person and blast them. The whole world knows just how carnal or corrupt you are. Now, I don't mean to scare you to death. I said all that this morning. I'm just reviewing now from what we had this morning. But if you want to be like Christ, you must be a peacemaker. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Matthew 5, verse 9, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, I'm going to reverse this as much as I possibly can and put it in a way that in which you will understand. If you've been on Facebook publishing garbage about people, maybe you won't forget this. Here is the opposite of this. Miserable are the troublemakers, for they shall be called the children of Satan. I just tried to turn it around. Didn't Jesus tell the Pharisees? He said, you are of your father, the devil, because you do the works of the devil. You know, I would think that someone could be just as backslidden as a mackerel and have better sense than to just get on Facebook and just start publishing things about people. Now, give yourself more credit than that. Maybe you had a mental lapse for a moment, but let's get over that. Seriously. But, you know, Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. It does not say let the God of peace. Well, it is true the God of peace rules in your heart, but the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. Love, gentleness, goodness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, peace, faith. Now, character is basically what you are. So if you take all of the fruits of the Spirit and you put them together, that's what God is. And you probably heard me do this before, but 1 Corinthians 13, and we talk about God is love. Well, there's more to God than just love. However, it is a part of God. So if you want to know how closely associated love is to Jesus Christ, let's just look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Now, I want to stop there, and we'll go back just for the sake of time. And let's just put the name Jesus in there. Jesus suffered long. Jesus was kind. Jesus envied not. Jesus vaunteth not himself. He was not puffed up. He did not behave himself unseemly. He sought not his own. He was not easily provoked. He thought no evil. He rejoiced not in iniquity, but he rejoiced in truth. He bore all things. He believed all things. He hoped all things. He endured all things. Jesus never failed. Now, doesn't that sound like Jesus to you? Now, if you put your own name in there, it gets to be quite a challenge. My name is John. John suffered long. John is kind. John envies not. John vaunteth not himself. He's not puffed up. He does not behave himself unseemly. He seeks not his own. He's not easily provoked. He thinks no evil. He rejoiced not in iniquity, but he rejoiced in truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. John never fails. Now, to tell you the truth, I don't measure up quite as much as I'd like to. So peace is one of the characteristics of God, one of the character traits. And Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, he did not say, let the God of peace, but he used peace as the subject and of God as a prepositional phrase to identify. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So, with all the characteristics of God, there is a particular characteristic that will assist you or help you in whatever your problem is. And peace helps you have personal government. In other words, government is a way in which things are set in order. You've probably heard policemen called peace officers. You can't separate peace and government, according to Scripture. Isaiah 9 and 6, I quoted that to you, but Isaiah 9 and 7, and of the increase of his peace and government, there shall be no end. So if you want peace, there has to be some government. And the truth of the matter is that when the rebellious spirit the devil gets inside of your heart and you become a rebel, that's when things get out of control. Now, you can't let that happen to you. I don't care how cute it might sound or whatever. You know, and if you get on Facebook, let's say, and you make some derogatory statements, let's say about somebody that left the church. Now, if that person, be it male or female, reads that and sees your name attached to it, they probably will never want to come back to the church that you attend. You realize how devilish this is? So let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now let's talk about the cure for bitterness. This is where we left off this morning. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and this is the Lord's Prayer, which most of you could quote. Matthew, the 6th chapter, we want to start reading at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, just like the angels of heaven obey the voice of God, and they go here and there and wherever God instructs, Jesus is teaching us to pray that the same thing happen on earth. Actually, he used the word in earth, not on earth. And we're earthen vessels. So in us, that the will of God be done here, just like it is in heaven. Because I know in heaven, there's probably a whole lot of gossip and Facebooking going on, causes a lot of problems. You know that's not the case, don't you? All right. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now verse 14, Jesus took a part of this. Now he's going to elaborate on it. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And I mentioned that one fruit of bitterness is gossip. And gossip is sharing detrimental information about a person to someone else who's neither a part of the problem nor the solution. Now, do you hear what I said? It's sharing detrimental information about someone who's not a part of the problem nor the solution. So if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So I would say that the person who is airing their dirty laundry on Facebook, that they've forgotten that they also need to repent. And if you can't, if you don't repent, if you don't forgive, you can't repent. That was the problem with Esau. Esau fell on his brother's neck and says, "Oh yeah, I forgive you. I know you did me wrong, just forget it." But the thing about it, he never did forget it. And he lived his life holding that grudge. And he died a bitter person. And even though he cried and sought the Lord and tried to repent, he couldn't, because he couldn't go and say from the bottom of his heart, "I forgive you, Jacob, I forgive you." He would not do it. So in that passage of Scripture, we find peace, we find holiness, we find the root of bitterness. And the thing about it is, when you are spreading your bitterness, or whatever you might want to call it, on Facebook, you are defiling many people. Because remember this, that when you write something down that's detrimental to someone else, and you put it on Facebook, there's a whole lot of people out there that has the same mentality that you have. In other words, I want to spread it, and these people are saying, Put it out, Bubba. I want to hear it. I want to read it. They're out there, and they want to read it. But this is not how we solve biblical problems. So what I want to do, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 18, and we want to go through a passage of Scripture that came from our Lord. Now, see, I'm the type of person, if I have any problem with an individual, I'm not going to write them a letter. I'm not going to call them on the phone. I'm going to look them right in the eye and say, now, I did you wrong. I need you to forgive me. Or I will go into the issue that is at hand. I'm just that way. I was taught that way growing up, and I know people like to text. You know, I'm not going to text anybody that I have aught with. I'm going to call them up, talk with them, and say, we need to get together. Now, Matthew 18, this is the discipline that should take place in the church. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I say alone. Alone. Say it again. Alone. Kind of weak. Let's say it again. Alone. All right? And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. In other words, if someone's done you wrong, you go and speak to him alone. In other words, you keep the circle of knowledge as tight as you possibly can. In other words, don't let it out. Now, by the way, this is what Jesus said. How many of you believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about? All right, most of you. All right. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. In other words, you seek out two people, and when you're doing this, make sure that you don't seek out people that you feel just say, oh, yeah, you're right. Yep, 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 yep. You know, there's some people that do you that way. And it's yep, 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 yep to everybody they talk to. So then you go, and so you still keep it as small as you can. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. In other words, you should take it to your pastor then. You know, and the thing that I try to do every time somebody comes and tells me something about someone, I say, have you talked with them about it? And about 90% of the time they say, no, I haven't. I say, well, then you need to go talk with them. By myself? Alone? Well, are you scared? Are you a chicken? Are you a coward? If nobody's ever told you, let me tell you something. It takes guts to be a Christian. You can't be a coward and be a Christian. I said, well, look, don't tell me any more about it. I don't want to know any more about it than what you've already told me. You go and talk to them alone. Now, I ask them, now, who have you told besides me? Usually it's, can't remember. Told my wife, I told my good friend, right down the line after a while. Oh, so you already have told many people. Did they give you advice? Did anybody tell you to go talk with them alone? Now, usually what happens after about two or three weeks, I go and say, did you ever talk to this person? Let me tell you something. Now, this is an eye-opener. I would say a good 60, 75% of all the people that I send back to talk to the person, you know what they come and tell me? They say, I decided I'd just drop it. It was no big deal anyway. No big deal. But you were about to really make it a big deal. Because you were soliciting people to get on your side so that that person could be corrected. You know, every now and then you just run into somebody and you don't know why you don't like them, but you just don't like them. But according to the Bible, that's not a license to pick on them. You know, when I was in high school, you know, I didn't feel that I'd had a, or high school, maybe junior high, I didn't feel I'd had a successful day until I had a fight with somebody. And tell you the truth, sometimes I just fought with people because I didn't like their looks. Now you think about it. Well, I really thought I was grown, but how immature. So you go and you talk with them alone. Now that's when you feel that your brother has trespassed against you. Now, there is another case, very similar, and that's Matthew 5. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 21. We want to read through verse 25, Matthew 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it had been said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger with the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca, or that is you rascal, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thy fool shall be in danger of hell fire. It's talking about your brother. In other words, if your brother is smart enough, if he's intelligent enough to come and give his heart to God and become your brother in Christ, he's much smarter than most people of the world. Don't be calling him a fool. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee. Now, this time, the situation's reversed. In other words, somebody trespassed against you, but now you feel that your brother thinks that you trespassed against him. Now, what do? Leave your gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. In other words, whatever you're trying to offer to God will not appease God if reconciliation between you and your brother can be accomplished and you turn it down. Hear what I'm saying now? The Jesus method. So, if somebody trespasses against you, whose responsibility is it to make it right? Yours. Okay. If you've trespassed against someone, whose responsibility is it to make it right? You. So the buck always falls in your lap. Always in your lap. You know the reason why? See, the Bible wasn't written to your brother. It's written to you. And when you read the Bible, you know, I've had people, listen to this. I've actually had people call me saying, well, Brother Grant, you know, you've been our leader in the district for a long time, and I want to ask you a question. And they would say, I feel he owes me an apology. I said, well, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to spend the next 2 or 3 days, and when you find in the Bible one hint that anybody owes you an apology, give me a call. Let me know. You hear that all the time. But he hurts my feelings. He owes me an apology. Now, you can't find that language in the Bible. He hurt my feelings. The answer is, then forgive him. But it's not my responsibility. Well, if it's not your responsibility, who else can forgive him? See, the thing that we have to understand is that repentance is the fruit of forgiveness, not forgiveness the fruit of repentance. If you want to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, when someone does you wrong, you forgive them. Now, if you forgive them, then you're not running from house to house or getting on Facebook and putting all your garbage on there and all that kind of stuff, telling people, oh, I'm bitter. Well, we know you're not sweet. Doesn't sound like anything sweet to me. Now, listen, I only look at Facebook when someone says, look, you need to come see this pastor. And sometimes, I got to tell you, you know, I've read some things that some of you put on there. If I had false teeth, they'd drop out. And they work with children? Oh. But the answer is forgiving. And if you don't forgive, guess what happens? You'll end up telling people, and they keep coming up, and you'll keep over and over and over and over and over. Now, every time I do marriage counseling, I start out by having the couple to read a book that is entitled, a booklet entitled Overcoming Hurt. Because, you know, after a while, the couple's fighting. They don't even know what they're fighting about. They don't even know what the source of the problem is. I have the wife to write on as many pieces of paper as she needs what the source of the problem is. Then I have the husband. And make sure you sign it. And the reason why I said make sure you sign it, because if you took the names off, you'd never know they were talking about the same thing. You'd never know that's husband and wife talking about the same thing. So I start out by saying, you need to forgive. So I have them to sign an agreement that states that if I do marriage counseling with them, that they will not share their problem with anybody else other than me. Tell the wife. Now, don't go tell your sister or your mother or some other sister in the church, because after a while, you'll forgive and you'll have the best marriage, and those other people may not have that same ability, and they still got feelings against your husband. You want that in the house of God? Hey, I'm only trying to get you to go to heaven with me. That's all I'm trying to do. I don't want you to miss the rapture by somehow ignoring what's written in the Bible. And then another thing I ask them to do, I promise that I will not intentionally provoke my spouse. And then the next one, I promise that if I am provoked intentionally or non-intentionally, I will not retaliate. A couple came in a week later and said, we figured this out, Brother Grant. If we can live by these, we won't have a problem. You know, if you're trying to solve the same problem over and over and over and over and over, let me tell you something. You cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that got you into the problem. Takes a different mindset. Now, this may not be inspirational to everybody, but listen, there comes come a time in life when you're going to need this. Trust me, you will need it. So if your brother trespasses against you, go to him alone. Say it again, alone. If he does not hear, you take one or two people with you. Say one or two. One or two. Why? Because you want to keep the circle small. And because all of this stuff gets out among the congregation, see, and people begin to get offended, You think of our every person in here. Just look at myself for an example. My son, Pastor Roy, is preaching in Kids Rageous. My wife is right over here. My great granddaughter, my granddaughter, my grandson-in-law, grandson over here, and now Cecily. I was just thanking the Lord today for you, Sister Grant and I. And here's my daughter-in-law. We just keep going on and on and on and on and on. And what happens is that if the circle gets so big and everybody knows about it, it creates more than just a ripple. It creates a tsunami. You know, waves that will kill people. And that's necessary for you to understand that. And I got to tell you, I just think that Facebook would be such a great place that you could edify people. And I tell you this might help you get off the hook with God after you repent. Why don't you get on Facebook this week and see how many good things you can say about people. Make them feel good about themselves. Now, you don't have to say anything that's not true, but you need to say things that's good about people. You know, flattery will get you nowhere. But you think about all the nice things you can say about people. And you think about how much this is going to... It just won't stay in its right place. I told the congregation this morning, you know, I got this sciatic nerve problem. I can't kick the devil, but I'd sure like to give him a big whack right in the mouth. Oh, my... So the Jesus method. I don't know that you know if you have a way to beat the Jesus method. I've used this for many, many years. I remember when we were on Milwaukee Street and gasoline prices soared up to 50 cents a gallon. Seriously. And somebody was stealing our gasoline. Brother Seidel was the principal of our Christian school. I think he worked in the Christian school as a principal. So we had gone over the church in the middle of the night and sat there with flashlights and everything trying to figure out who was doing it, trying to catch him. Couldn't catch him. Brother Seidel drives up one time during the middle of the day. He'd made an errand someplace. He drives up. Here's a young man out there siphoning gasoline. Brother Seidel got him. So he said, oh, don't call the cops, he said. And he gave him a story about his mother being unemployed and so forth. And Brother Seidel said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I need your name and telephone number, and I need a confirmation it's the right address and telephone number. And so when my pastor comes back, he'll determine what to do. So when I got back, Brother Seidel told me. I said, well, I need to pray about this. So, because I was all set, man. I'd stayed up night after night after night. I was all set to call the cops. And so I went in and I started to pray. And the Lord really quickened my heart with some scripture. So I took the address and went over and found the house and went to the door and knocked on the door. And a lady came to the door. I said, I'm Pastor Grant of Calvary Gospel Church. She actually slammed the door in my face. She didn't want to talk with me. From inside the door, she said, I don't want to talk with you. I know what this is all about. I guess you just do what you have to do. But I don't want to talk with you about it. I said, oh, ma'am, I'd really like to talk with you. So I went in, and I talked with her, and she said, so you're going to call the cops on my son, I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I said, if you'll bring him out. He hid in the bedroom. He wouldn't come out. If you'll bring him out. So he came out and sat down very nervous. And, of course, I would be too. So I talked with him. I said, I know you've been stealing gasoline. How long have you been doing this? He said, well, for some time. I figured that you'd probably catch me at night if we did it at night, so I was going during the daytime. I said, why are you doing this? He started crying. His mother started crying. His mother said, you know, I'm unemployed. My unemployment's run out. I'm going to be evicted from this home. We don't have any money, Pastor. I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I called his name. I opened my wallet, poured out some money. I said, I'm going to buy you a tank of gasoline and give you some money for food. Now, you must promise me, though, that you'll not steal again. And if you have a need, that you come and knock on my door instead of stealing. You know what he did? Fell on his knees and started crying. His mother fell by his side, took this teenager in her arms. They wept. They cried. And then they began to ask God to forgive them. God, please forgive us from stealing from Pastor Grant and Calvary Gospel Church. God, thank you, Lord Jesus. I knelt with them and prayed with them. Now, I understand the value of having a police force, and I understand the value of the law being enforced. But I just felt God really showed me a lesson then. He showed me that forgiveness comes before repentance, not repentance before forgiveness. We never lost any more fuel. I think they came a few times, but not many times. When I got up to leave, they both hugged my neck and said, you know, we're so glad you came. The boy even said, I've had a bad taste in my mouth about religion. But he said, I've just never seen it practiced like this before. Listen to what Jesus says. You have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is Matthew 5:38. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now look at verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. In other words, conclusive evidence that you're God's child is when you act like God acts. So you thought it was speaking in tongues and shouting, didn't you? Well, that's part of it too, but that's not the sum total of it. that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans or the sinners so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Praise God. If you're having problems talking about people, if you're having problems with bitterness, if when certain names are mentioned, fire burns in your bosom, you need to learn to forgive. Jesus Christ, when he was dying, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And Jesus Christ walked on the earth 40 days after he arose from the dead and never one time mentioned the people that crucified him. Why? Because he had forgiven them. So to the lady that says, I'm bitter, everybody knows my stand on everything. That's the way it is. I'll never forget. Forgive them. Does, you think she really wants to live a miserable life? And that's what you do. You become miserable. And the person that you're not forgiving, they're just walking around whistling Dixie like nothing ever happened. I want you to stand with me at this time. So, don't be going on Facebook and using loose language. You hear? Okay. I said, do you hear? Okay, all right. Well, I want to see you saved. After a while, you get into something and... Just keep your heart clean. Keep your heart right before God. It's a good feeling to be able to go and shake hands with everybody you know and everybody you see and not have any feelings in your heart against them. This morning we ended by make me love everybody. We're not going to do that tonight, but I tell you what. It is so good. As they begin to sing, why don't you just turn around and shake hands with people and tell them, I really love you. I'm glad you're my brother, my sister in Christ. Really love you. Okay, let's sing.